A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging these arts organizations. We'll look at the impact of the economy, technology, and society on the arts, the importance of arts education, and how these organizations and ensembles are adjusting and innovating as they face the future. Today, we'll head back over to Houston, where Houston Grand Opera has just issued its first children's book. The Armadillo's Dream was created to introduce young readers to opera. My guests will be Carlene Graham, director of HGO Co., Houston Grand Opera's outreach initiative, and Dennis Arrowsmith, HGO Co.'s touring program manager and author of the book. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. The Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra has named Ken David Mazur as its next music director. In a statement, the symphony said Mazur made his Milwaukee Symphony debut just last spring and was brought back in September to open the orchestra season. The son of famed conductor Kurt Mazur, Ken David Mazur was born in Leipzig and began his music studies in violin and piano. He graduated from Columbia, where he was music director of the Bach Society Orchestra and Chorus, and completed his postgraduate studies in Germany at the Detmold Academy and Hans Eisler Conservatory. Along with his wife, he is co-founder and co-artistic director of New York's Chelsea Music Festival. Mazur's appointment as music director-designate begins this month, and he will step into the music director position for the 2019-2020 season. The orchestra is slated to hold the grand opening of its new Milwaukee Symphony Center in the fall of 2020. The Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, together with the Mendelssohn Choir of Pittsburgh and violinist Yitzhak Perlman, will present a concert at the end of November honoring the memory of those killed in the October 27th shooting at Pittsburgh's Tree of Life Synagogue. The free concert is being called A Concert for Peace and Unity and will be held November 27th at Heinz Hall for the Performing Arts. Included among the works on the program are Ravel's Kaddish from two Hebrew melodies for clarinet and string orchestra, a movement from the Brahms Requiem, and three pieces from John Williams' score for Schindler's List. The concert will be part of the symphony's Music for the Spirit program, which presents performances that celebrate Pittsburgh's faith communities and the universal message of music. The Saturday morning shooting last month left 11 worshipers dead and others, including police officers responding to the crime scene, injured. More information on the program can be found at pittsburghsymphony.org. The ranks of classical music critics continue to grow smaller as Baltimore Sun arts writer Tim Smith wrapped up his 18-year tenure at the paper earlier this month. The online site The Baltimore Fishbowl reported that Smith's last day at the paper was November 7th. Smith also had work published in BBC Music Magazine, Opera News, and The New York Times, and he is also author of The NPR Curious Listener's Guide to Classical Music. According to the Fishbowl, The Sun now has two devoted arts writers and two other features writers who cover the arts, including fashion and lifestyle. The New World Symphony, known for nurturing young musicians and exploring traditional and modern repertoire, has announced a fund for new ventures funded by a $500,000 gift that will enable the orchestra to fund innovative and experimental programs. In a statement, Symphony co-founder and artistic director Michael Tilson Thomas said the gift from Robert and Diane Moss will help the orchestra pursue some of the ideas that support its mission, but require some risk. In its statement, the orchestra said it hoped other donors would provide further investment in these types of projects in the future. The Boston Symphony Orchestra has announced its schedule for the 2019 Tanglewood season, which will include a concert performance of Wagner's Die Walküre, and the world premiere of a new work by Pulitzer Prize winner Kevin Putz, based on the letters of Georgia O'Keeffe and Alfred Stieglitz. The season, which opens July 5th, will include 14 performances led by BSO music director Andres Nelsons and feature works by Andre Previn and Joan Tower, as well as Verdi's Requiem, Stravinsky's Petrushka, and Mahler's Fifth Symphony, among others. Renee Fleming will serve as the 2019 Koussevitzky artist, performing in the new work by Putz called The Brightness of Light. The 2019 season will also see the opening of the Tanglewood Learning Institute and a four-building center for music and learning. The orchestra expects to announce further details of the institute's program in February. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world. So, did you hear the story about the armadillo who dreamed of singing in an opera? Well, the armadillo's name was Sandy, and once upon a time, not too long ago as a matter of fact, some creative people at Houston Grand Opera came up with the idea of Sandy as a way to help introduce opera and HGO's home stage at the Wortham Center to young readers. The result was The Armadillo's Dream, published just this month, part of the opera company's HGO co-program, its education and community initiative arm. The book project grew in part out of HGO's Storybook Opera program, which brings musical storytelling programs to children ages kindergarten through second grade. The book even manages to bring in a reference to the Pearlfishers, scheduled for performance by the Houston Grand Opera in January and February. Dennis Arrowsmith is HGO Co.'s touring programs manager, and he penned the book that follows Sandy's adventures from Buffalo Bayou to the stage at Houston's Wortham Center, with bright pastel illustrations by Edward Hakobian. I spoke with Arrowsmith, as well as with Carlene Graham, director of HGO Co., about how Houston Grand Opera feels this book will perhaps ignite sparks of interest in opera in young children.
I came to Houston Grand Opera in the late summer of 2016, and previous to that, I was a college professor of opera and music theater, and also just with a very obviously strong background in education. I had even taught public school many years ago. So just really focused on student experience and, again, how do you get young people involved early on in classical music and opera in particular. And so when we came here and I learned about all the programming, and Dennis was doing some wonderful, the Storybook Opera program that we do is really a lovely program. It uses a lot of different books to not only introduce elements of music and opera singing, but it also promotes literacy, and so it's a wonderful combination of those elements. And so I kind of went, why don't we have our own storybook opera? And, like our own storybook. And anyway, then Dennis, you can take it over with the story selection.
Yeah, one of our really generous patrons, her name is Connie Kwanwa. She's also very interested in students and young children, and she was really integral in making this book happen. We're using her publishing company. So we all worked together, and I had found this folk tale about an armadillo online, actually. And it was when I was looking for a story for Opera to Go, which is also one of our touring programs. And it was this really wonderful story, but I didn't think it was quite the right fit for Opera to Go. Opera to Go presents 45-minute operas in schools, libraries, community centers, again, as an introduction to opera, but they're fully staged sets and costumes. And the story just didn't seem like the right fit. So when we all came up with the idea of our original storybook, I knew immediately this was the story that I wanted to adapt. So I took the story and transported it to Houston. I wrote it in rhyming couplets and just made it really special and specific to Houston and Houston Grand Opera.
And I would guess it wasn't that much of a stretch because the armadillo is, I would guess, is fairly native around there.
Yeah, well, it's definitely one of the first animals that comes to mind when you think of Texas.
So walk us through then the basic plot line. What happens to our friend, the armadillo, Sandy, the armadillo?
Absolutely. Yes, so I named the armadillo Sandy in honor of Sandra Bernhardt, who was the founder of HGO Co. several years ago. It was about 10 years ago. Is that right, Carlene?
Yes, 2007.
So she passed away about 4 years ago. So I named the armadillo in honor of her. But Sandy, the armadillo, lives here on the banks of the Buffalo Bayou, which is it's a waterway that kind of traverses Houston and, in fact, wraps right around the Wortham Theater Center, which is where Houston Grand Opera home is. And he dreams of singing, which is, as you can imagine, very unlikely for an armadillo. And while he is out and about, he meets three different critters. He meets a cricket, a frog, and a canary, which are, of course, musical animals by nature. And they all discourage Sandy. They're saying, you know, you will never sing. Just look at you. But he keeps on going and then ends up falling asleep and dreams of this magical storm, which is not unusual here in Houston. And the storm transforms Sandy, leaving behind just his shell, which floats down the bayou to the opera stage door. And his shell gets brought inside the opera house and used on stage in a performance right here in the Wortham Center. And ultimately, Sandy's dream comes true. He sings on stage.
Now, of course, this ties in directly to an upcoming performance of the Pearl Fishers. That's the opera that's featured in the book. How important was it to do that?
I started writing the book in October of 2016. So I knew what operas were coming along the pike. We were never really quite sure what the production schedule would end up being, because since this is our first book, we learned so much in the process. But the timeline, we just had no idea. So I also mentioned La Traviata in the book, which is something we did last season. But I just really wanted to make it as relevant to the community as to Houston Grand Opera, what we're doing on stage, and what we're also doing in the community. So I just thought it was a really fun tie-in. And as it turns out, the timing couldn't be more perfect. It kind of coincides with our return to the Wortham after Harvey turns the whole city upside down. And it also ties in with our current opera season.
And now, who are you hoping to reach in particular with this book? Who are you hoping are the kids that are going to be opening this book up?
We think that, children, we just had an official launch of the book, and there were children there that were as young as, 3 and 4, and to even older. And what was interesting is that they all seemed to be very engaged with the book and the story. And so it was, to me, it's a very universal story, even though it's set in Houston. And I think another important component of this for us was to make sure we have both an English and a Spanish version of the story. And so Alejandro Magallón translated Dennis's words into Spanish, and so we printed in both languages.
We're just always trying to reach as many of our young audience as possible, and I think it's also a really great book for families to read together.
Correct.
Because even as I was reading it to the crowd, the adults were laughing, and the kids were chuckling, because there's humor in it as well. And as Carlene said, it's a really universal story about just resilience and believing in your dreams and that kind of thing.
And even though even though Sandy goes through a transformation, you know, that can be interpreted in many ways, it also can provide an opportunity for parents to talk about sometimes difficult subjects with their kids. And also, sometimes our dreams are realized in ways we don't know they can be realized. And so I think that that's part of the beautiful message of the book is that even though, Sandy does sing on the stage, but probably not the way that he would have dreamed that he would have sung on the stage.
Well, now you've referenced the Storybook Opera program. Tell us what this program involves and who does it reach?
Absolutely. It's been around for about 15 to 20 years, and it involves 1 to 2 professional opera singers, and they go into classrooms and libraries for a really intimate, interactive musical experience where they take a storybook and bring it to life using small excerpts of opera and really showing kids what an operatic voice sounds like right up close. And it just shows a new and perhaps different way of telling stories.
Now, the book went on sale or became available as of this past Monday on the 5th. What has response been like?
We got a really nice bump in sales on Monday, and we're just doing our best to promote it and get the word out. Everyone I talked to just can't wait to get their copy, and on Sunday I was busily signing copies, and that was really exciting.
And Dennis is also doing a Houston book tour in different locations, and so Dennis, bookstores and Children's Museum.
Yep, we're doing a lot of the really local bookstores. One of them is called Brazos Bookstores. One of them is called Blue Willow Bookshop. And we're performing the book at the Free Family Night at the Children's Museum of Houston. We're doing some local Houston libraries. We're just trying to really make it available in several different venues and primarily the locations that are free.
Do you have any specific plans at this point for a second or third or a continuation of the series, or are you just kind of waiting and seeing to see where you want to take this?
It is a question of the hour. I think right now we're just delighted to promote this and to see what kind of response we get and allow that to help, perhaps dictate future ideas.
Yeah, one really great part of it is that since Connie Kwan Wong has underwritten it, all of the proceeds from the book are coming right back to HGOCO to help us develop programs like this.
I did want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit more about the other HGOCO programs. You mentioned Storybook Opera, but there's also Opera to Go. There's actually, I noticed, a serial web opera up there. What is the range of programs that you have?
HGOCO, the CO in HGOCO, we say stands for company, community, and collaboration. And so that casts quite a wide net. Within our department, we sort of look at programming under two large umbrellas of education and community. And so under the education umbrella, of course, we have our Opera to Go, which probably performs to around about 55,000 students and their families every year, about 180 performance of a touring opera. And so that's one of our signature programs, along with Storybook. And then we also have a series of summer camps that we do in June with various age levels. We also have a growing residency program, which we do not only in schools, but we're doing in Harris County the juvenile detention program, and also at the Methodist Hospital in their music therapy program. And so, the residencies are the real deep dives that we do, where we go repeatedly to and work with a group on a long-term project, and where we're developing really long-term relationships. Perhaps sometimes an opera will be composed, or a set of songs will be composed out of that. It really is determined by the need of the school or the program with whom we work, how that comes. We also have a high school. It's called the Bauer Family High School Voice Studio, and it's an auditioned studio program that helps prepare high school students with exceptional ability for college auditions, and they're sort of the link from high school into college. We just started a new opera club for teens that's going very well this season, and we do teacher professional development as well. Now, under community, we have two huge initiatives. One is the Song of Houston initiative, and that is where we go into the community and find stories that are either about Houston or about its residents or has some relevance in Houston. And under that initiative is where the web opera series Starcrossed is coming from. And we have two short films that will come out this season, actually one this season and one next, that we're developing based on real stories of Houstonians. And then we also have the Seeking the Human Spirit initiative, which is a company-wide initiative that looks at, that focuses on three or four operas a season with an overlying theme of something that contributes to the development of the human spirit. So last year, at the beginning of the initiative, the first theme was sacrifice. And so we had three operas from the main stage that were focused on, and we did a number of ancillary programming around that. This year, this season, we're working on, the theme is transformation. And so we have operas that, one out of each part of the season that we're focusing on, and we have a number of ancillary programming that goes along with transformation. And really, the Armadillo's Dream fits beautifully into that because Sandy mm-hmm. makes such a beautiful transformation. So there's a lot of programming that Houston Grand Opera supports and initiates in the city of Houston, and we're really proud to work intensively with a number of service organizations and schools to realize those programs.
Mm. Well, it had been enjoyable to hear about the Seeking the Human Spirit program when it was first announced.
Correct.
How are you finding that these programs are resonating? Do you see some ripples? Do you see some effects as time has gone on and you're feeling it at the company?
That's a great question. Dennis gets a lot of, especially with the being the one of the things that a lot of younger people see first, you know, we get feedback a lot from students, and you know, you were sharing some of that yesterday.
Yeah, we just got a big pack of thank you cards from a local school called Beta Academy that had just seen our bilingual opera to go performance of Cinderella in Spain, and they sent us these beautiful illustrations of the set, illustrations of the costumes, and just really wonderful thank yous. And we get lots of thank you emails from teachers just saying how important it is that these performances come. And one of our biggest priorities in these performances is not only showing them what opera is, but also explaining how inclusive opera can be in terms of all the different jobs that are available in the arts, that it's not just the singers on stage, it's also the costume designers or the people who write the music, the people who write the words, set designers. You know, it's really the synthesis of all the art forms, and that there are many opportunities out there for kids just like them. And I think a lot of that is reflected in these wonderful cards that show the drawings and just the how much hopefully their lives are enriched. I mean, we also get to bring the kids here to the opera. We have student matinees and high school night performances here in the opera.
Yeah.
So it's not just going out in the community. We're also facilitating kids come here at a really discounted rate. And it's just so exciting to see their faces light up when they walk in the building, and just to hear them chatting after the show about how they, you know, maybe had never even seen an opera before, but how they can't wait to come back and see the next one.
For many of the kids who come, we just finished two student matinee performances of La Boheme, and we filled the house twice, so over 2,200 students at each performance. And, you know, for many of these students, it's the first time that they've ever, A, seen an opera, and also have been in a hall that is as impressive as the Brown Theater in the Wortham Center. So it's, you know, it's a wonderful experience for schools to be able to bring their students into, you know, to see this other part of the city that sometimes they just don't even know exists.
Well, Dennis, a minute or two ago, you referred to stage design, set design, and all the other behind-the-scenes jobs. I'm kind of curious, you've now set up this beautiful vision where this armadillo shell becomes this amazing focal point in an opera. Have you heard from the production crew as to how they're supposed to live up to those expectations?
Well, I get to work with the production crew fairly regularly in the Opera to Go productions that we make, and those are an unusual challenge for them because everything in Opera to Go has to be fully portable and fit into a van that drives all around the city. So our staff gets to stretch their creative muscles, not only in just doing performances on stage, but also figuring out how to make performances work on the road. So, you know, they're always challenged, no matter what the production. But, yeah, even the orchestra has a lot to live up to compared with Sandy's shell, you know?
That was my conversation with Carlene Graham, director of Houston Grand Opera's HGO Co., its Education and Community Initiative Program, and Dennis Arrowsmith, touring program manager for HGO Co. and author of the book, The Armadillo's Dream. You can find more information on Houston Grand Opera at hgo.org, and details of the book are available at hgo.org/armadillosdream. I hope you enjoy these conversations that I bring you, focusing on the changing dynamics and challenges in the arts world each week on A Tempo. But remember that programs like this are made possible only through your support of this station. To become a member of the Classical Network, go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for your support of the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. You can listen to past programs of A Tempo by going to our arts and cultural news page at wwfm.org or searching for A Tempo on our program page. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.